here's where we're going today with our series called Make War. We've had some fun weeks these past few weeks, and we're excited about it. And today, we're talking about a subject called with Everything. Here's what I know. I know that there are people in this room today that would 100% confidently say, I am legitimately saved. I am legitimately saved. I know that. And you would define that by saying this: I know that I belong to Jesus. I know that I am 100% for sure born again. I know that I am a child of God. I know that I am on this hill, the right hill, not the wrong hill. This is how you would define it. Those are some of the ways that we kind of use in some church lingo. But you know that. But here's your problem. Here's your problem if you're in the same camp as me. You often ask yourself this: since I've given my life to Jesus, there are moments and times that I don't feel the abundant life that God has promised me. Can I get an amen? You know what I'm talking about. I mean, if we're really being honest today, many of us that absolutely know that we are saved have woken up before, maybe even did it today. You woke up even on a Sunday and you didn't feel very saved, did you? You're like, oh my gosh. Mondays are the worst day. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Mondays are the toughest day. You just wake up and you're not feeling very saved. And if I were to give you the alphabet or letters to choose from of what you would define your Christian life, joy, J-O-Y, would not be one of those words that you would use to define your Christian life all the time. And you're wondering where that's at because you've heard Pastor Josh talk about this abundant joy, this overflowing joy that goes on and on. And you keep wondering. Logical questioning. Jesus promised me an abundant life. He's promised me joy that's never ending, that overflows. So why? Why in the world am I not always experiencing this amazingly Christian life that Jesus has promised me? And I've been hoping and praying in this particular week, folks, that today what we're going to show you through a couple ideas is going to just blow your mind and help you understand to maybe be able to experience that joy, experience that abundancy, that fulfillment that Jesus Christ has to offer as a follower of his. Because I believe these are some of the areas that we miss out on, and this is why your Christian life seems to be so hit or miss. It seems to be up and it seems to be down. And we just kind of want to reach some consistency and experience that a little bit more often. These are a couple of the things. So let me start here today with kind of this tough idea. Have you ever been more frustrated? This is one of the things that just frustrates me the most. I'll be honest with you. Earlier in your parenting years, you would spend all kinds of ridiculous cash on your one-year-old, two-year-old, three-year-old for their birthday party, for their Christmas presents. And just because you wanted those moments, those very first moments with your children to be absolutely amazing. Some of you are like, child, please. I just happened to me with my teenager this year. You know what I'm saying? Right? And you wanted those moments to be exceptional on the morning of or the day of. And when you would give them the very first gift of the 45 of them lined up, and they opened up the first present, it's always happened. All they seemed to do was play with what? Exactly, you've been there. You know exactly what I'm talking about. They got consumed with the dumb box and the stupid paper for like 30 minutes. They never even looked inside the box, let alone even got to the other 45 gifts. That's all they did, play with the dumb box, the stinking paper over and over and over. And this used to frustrate me so much as a parent earlier, parenting years. And I'm like, what are you doing? So with that analogy, here's what I want you to understand. I just want you to think about that. I want you to know this today. If you are in Christ, you need to know something. You are gifted. Okay? If you are in Jesus Christ, You are gifted. I believe in this so much that I think that you need to remind somebody, because not a whole lot of people are like, amen, I like that, good, hallelujah, whatever today. I need you to tell somebody today next to you on your right or left, I just need you to remind them. Say, hey, listen, I just want you to know you are gifted. Go ahead, do it right now. Some of you are like, not in the looks department, but you are gifted. I said, actually, some of you single people missed that, didn't you? You're like, you should have said, you are really gifted, baby. Here's my number. Call me, maybe. You know what I'm saying? So you missed it. You missed your opportunity right there. You missed it. I don't know about you, but when I get a present, I want to open up the stinking present. I want to know what's inside the present. And people, there's certain people that drive me nuts with presents. My son Caleb, my special little Caleb, if you don't know anything about him, he has Cornelia de Lange syndrome. He's 12 years old. He's about 4 years old mentally. But this kid is awesome, but he does everything methodical. And it just happened this Christmas, did it not? When we opened up Christmas presents. And he's the kind of kid that, like, it's everything is like one at a time with him. And you're counting this and you're like, what? And he drives me nuts. You know another thing that drives me nuts? You know, if you're part of that family, you know the family that says, hey, we're all going to pass out the presents and we're going to open one present at a time. Are you freaking kidding me? Come on. You know what I'm saying? Listen, here's what I know. Here's what I know. If you're from that family, that's stupid. That's dumb. It's dumb. I could care less about what you get. I want to know what's in the box for me. You know what I'm saying? Listen, when I get a present, I am seriously, dude, and Misty wrapped it with this plastic paper. I want to rip it to shreds. I'm a violent opener. Oh my gosh. I'm a violent opener, is what I am. I actually just burned 42 calories doing that right there. 42. I want to get after it. I want to go nuts because I want to see what's in the box. I just do. I destroyed that, did I not? I destroyed that. Let me tell you something with this analogy today. Please don't miss this. If you're a note taker, you might want to write this down. With this idea, the reason, I'm telling you right now, it's plain as day, the reason that so many of you have never stepped into what God has planned for you, you haven't experienced that joy, that abundance seems to elude you often, into the greater things in your life, here's why. You are consumed with playing with the paper. And playing with the box. Oh, cool fort. You know what I'm saying? That's all you're consumed with. That literally is the reason so many of you have not stepped into the greater things that God has planned for you. Because all you're doing is being consumed with the paper and the box. And you haven't even looked inside to see the gift that God has given to you. Amen. You haven't done it. There's your one big counseling session for today. If you're screwed up in your spiritual walk, there it is. Look in the box. All right? We could say amen and pray and go home, but I'm going to keep going, you know, at least for another 45 to hour and a half. Is that all right? Okay, listen. Here's the one question I want you to ask yourself today on a serious note. And then I'm going to give you a few ideas to help you maybe find out and discover how you do this, how you find out how you're gifted. But here's the question I want you to think about. Really got to ponder this. Do you fully understand that God, the creator of the universe, wants to do more in and through you than you could ever imagine? Okay, which is cool because I got like six amens, but everybody else is not grabbing this. This is why this is such a big idea. Do you understand what I said? The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the creator of the universe, that God wants to do, this is his desire on his heart, he wants to do more through you and in you than you could ever imagine. You have got to get this, guys. Do you grasp this idea? Because until you grasp and fully understand that idea, that question right there, you will keep selling yourself short. But once you get it, it changes everything. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 tells us something amazing about each person that is here, that is in Christ. It says, now to him, that's Jesus, God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. Grab the gravity of that, according to his power that is at work within us. Ephesians 3:20 should be a verse that you go home today, you write down on a note card, and you put it in front of you every single place that you will see it throughout the day. It should be on your mirror when you look disastrous in the morning, okay? It should be on the front cover of your magazine as you sit down and go to the restroom in the morning. It should be on your refrigerator. It should be on your coffee maker. It should be on your car door, on your car windshield. It should be at your office desk. That is a verse that you need to remind yourself often of, because I don't think we grab a hold of the power that's within these words. As a follower of Jesus, it's something that should constantly be recited and memorized every day of your life, because here's how it's so important. It's true. It's true that God wants to do more than you could ever think, dream, contemplate, concoct up. He wants to do more than anything that your human brain could comprehend doing in and through you if you are in Christ. He wants to do more than you could ever imagine. And some of you are out there and you push back and you're like, I just don't get it. And that's why you're stalled in your walk. You're not buying into it. And that's highly unfortunate. But it doesn't change the fact of what Ephesians 3:20 says. Do you get this? God wants to gift you to do more in and through you for his glory than you could ever think, dream, or imagine. You've got to, oh my gosh, this is so powerful. You've got to get this before we move forward. In 1 Samuel 17, where we've been talking about David and Goliath, if you're here for the first week, and we've been talking about making war and kind of some personal steps in our personal faith that we can take forward. First week was great. It was just all about, are you fighting on the right team? Matt did a great job. Are you on the right hill or on the wrong hill? Last week we talked about another way to move forward is just get past your past. Get past your past and run at your giants. And this week, this is what we're talking about with everything. So we've been in 1 Samuel 17, but if you humor me, go back to 1 Samuel 16 as I kind of set up this idea today so you get the big deal. To give you a little background, a little history, we have a king by the name of Psycho Saul. Literally, in my footnotes, that's who he is, Psycho Saul. He literally is psycho because he's going to end up losing his mind later on in life, but Saul has lost favor with God, and God tells Samuel, who's his representative, his prophet, to go to this guy's house named Jesse, and he says, in the house of Jesse, I'm going to choose my next king, so I want you to go there and get his sons all together, and I'll tell you which one that I want you to anoint. So Samuel goes to Jesse's house, and Jesse gets all of his boys lined up. It's a big, huge entourage, and he goes through every one of them. I kind of wonder how this often asks, you know, does he have speed dial with God? He's like, is this a guy? You know, I don't know. I don't know how it works, but he's going through each one of them, and he doesn't hear anything from God about any one of these boys, and he's wondering what's going on. So ultimately, he goes back to Jesse, and he says, is this all of your boys? And Jesse's kind of like, well, you know, there is one more, but we don't really talk about him that much. You know what I'm saying? He was kind of an accident. We didn't even expect him to come. Yeah, I don't know. But he's out kind of tending our family's sheep, and it couldn't be him. That's why we didn't even bring him in here. Now, I use this first analogy because I want you to get this out of the gate, because we're talking about David. Guys, in the beginning, the very first time that we're hearing about David, David wasn't even invited to the party. David was forgotten about. David, by his own father, was considered insignificant. And I find it just absolutely mind-blowing that God eventually takes an uninvited, insignificant, forgotten young shepherd boy and he raises him to be one of the greatest kings of the nation of Israel. And some of you are like, where are you going with this, Josh? Here's where I'm going. There are some people that are sitting out there today. You know you're on Team Jesus. But there are many times that you feel forgotten by God. You feel insignificant with God. You feel like there's just nothing special about you with God. And can I just tell you right now, God absolutely specializes in taking people like you and turning this world upside down. That's what my Bible says over and over and over again. All right, let's move forward. 1 Samuel 16, 12 through 13. David finally gets invited to the party, and this is what the Bible says happens. So he sent for him, had him brought in. He was glowing with health, had a fine appearance and handsome features like Josh. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him, because this is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil, and he anointed him. Now, time out. Very, very important words here sometimes. If you don't know how to dig deep into the Bible, I'm going to unpack a little bit. These are very important words, because any time in the Old Testament that you would see words of horn of oil or anointing, oil anointing, it was representative of the Holy Spirit's presence in the Old Testament. Some of us are like, whoa, hold on. I thought that guy doesn't show up till the New Testament. Okay, that would defeat the whole purpose of a triune God being existent from the beginning. Let us make man in our image. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Can I just tell you out loud right now that the Holy Spirit has been present from the beginning, and he even was present in the Old Testament. So in reference, so you understand this wording, anytime you see anointing of oil or horn of oil, it was representative of the Holy Spirit's presence in the Old Testament. He just didn't wait around to finally show up to the party in the New Testament. So it says, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And pay attention to these next few words. From that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. The key words that I want you to focus on, I want you to grasp today are from that day on. These are so important in our text today, people, because you got to grab this. What that means is David, he didn't have to wait for another service or another experience or another ceremony to receive the Holy Spirit. The minute that he was anointed, the Spirit of God came upon him in power. So what the Bible says right here, and I want you to know something huge today, celebrators, with this thought. David was anointed, he was called, he was equipped, he was empowered, and he was gifted to do something great for the kingdom of God as soon, the moment, the instant that he received the Holy Spirit. And the same that was true for David is true for you today, which means this, the moment that you said yes to Jesus, the moment that you asked him to become the Lord of your life and forgive your sins, the moment that you asked Jesus Christ into your life, you were immediately gifted. You were immediately gifted. Instantaneously gifted. Very, very important stuff here. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, 13 through 14, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of our salvation. Listen to this. When you believed, in other words, as soon as you believed in Jesus, what happened to you? You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is depositing, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. And that means this, folks, the Holy Spirit came upon the early Christians the moment that they believed. And they were enabled to do certain things that were incapable of doing themselves had they not received the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is what I want you to get from this whole little excerpt right here. You have the same Holy Spirit living inside of you. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. Do you get this? I want you to grab the magnitude of this. If you are in Christ, you have the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead living inside of you. He's inside of you. That's the power that we're talking about. That's the gift that we're talking about. And God, listen, God didn't give you all that power for you just to show up to church twice a month. He didn't. He gave you that power for you to change the world around you as you know it. Now, come down off of my high horse. Listen. There's many people. Since you've given your life to Christ, you've kind of avoided this whole spiritual gift conversation. Okay? Nobody can avoid the whole spiritual gift of the Holy Spirit. So, good luck trying that one. That's why I started there. But we kind of default and we give this excuse over and over and over again. And we say something like this. You know, we're like, what are you doing? We always use these words. What are you doing since you've become a Christian? Or since you've given your life to Jesus? What are you doing? And we're like, well, I just don't know what to do. And we'll default, which is natural, and we'll default and say, I just don't know what my spiritual gift is. You do that long enough, you'll eventually use that as the excuse for the rest of your life, just so you know. Just so you know, okay? But many more than not will say, I just don't know what my spiritual gift is. But this is great, man. I've been in ministry for over 20 years. This is awesome. Some of you, oh, you know what your spiritual gift is. Because you've taken like 16 spiritual gift tests online and you know exactly what it is. And this is classic, man, being a pastor of a church. This is classic because everybody that knows what their spiritual gift is, this is great. Many of you have no problem whatsoever telling every single body else what your spiritual gift is. This is what my gift is. Like, well, how about this area to serve? No, this is what my spiritual gift is. Well, how about this area? No, this is my spiritual gift. You have no problem. Can I just tell you something really honest as a pastor today? If you have to tell me what your spiritual gift is, it's probably not your spiritual gift. Just being honest with you today. Let me unpack that for you so you understand. Does Peyton Manning have to tell us that he is a great quarterback and knows how to play football? No. Peyton Manning is one of the most humble guys, professional athletes that you would know. He doesn't get on the mic saying, dude, did you see what I did out there today? You know what I'm saying? He doesn't do that. He talks about what he did as making mistakes and how to get better. He doesn't have to tell you that he's great at playing football. Why? Because he goes out there and shows you that he's great at football. You know what that means? You watch him play the game and you know that guy is gifted. Wasn't too gifted last week against the Colts, but that's a whole nother story. You know what I'm saying? Okay, but please get this today. If you are gifted, you do not have to tell everybody what your gift is. You just need to operate in your gift, and everybody will see what your gift is. Some of our problems today, folks, we were talking about at the beginning of this message, why you don't always feel joy, the abundant Christian life, is primarily because, just being honest, you're not operating in your gift. You keep playing with the box. And you've still yet to open up the present to see the gift inside. So, I really believe this with all my heart. I believe this. I believe that God wants some of you to know what's in the box more than many of you want to know what's in the box yourself. I believe that. I believe that. He's made it so easy for you to find out what your gift is. You just got to open up the box. You got to do it. So let me give you three things that might just help you find out what your gift is today, all right? Three things, three real quick things, 45 minutes tops, that's it, we're done. Okay, here we go, ready? Number one, my opportunities. Some of you by the end of this, you're like, that is nothing like any spiritual gift test I've ever taken in my life. It's not gonna be, it's gonna be just so general, okay? My opportunities. Some of us need to take advantage of the opportunities that are around us a little more often. And they're around you, trust me. They are available and around you. Please don't miss this. David. David was the newly appointed and anointed king of Israel in 1 Samuel 16. We just shared the story. And David knew as the next king of Israel what the Lord wanted him to do in the moment when the moment that he saw Goliath. He knew, this is what the Lord wants me to do. Let me go back and unpack it for you in 1 Samuel 17. Pick it up in verse 17. Ready? It says this. Now Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. Now quick time out. Just a quick time out here. What if David had stopped his dad's request on the spot and started talking about how gifted he was? What if Jesse came, hey, David, come here, buddy. I want you to take this. David reaches out. Dad, whoa, don't go there, pops. Shh. But hey, shh. Got a whole bag of shh waiting for you. What if Jesse comes up and says, David, I need you to take this package to your brothers. And in some translations, it reads this, and then broken down deeper into some of the commentaries, it says, to the house of Israel. And that's another important thought, another phrase brought out in the Old Testament that's used in relation to Israel and often said and referred to the Israel nation was as the house of Israel. I need you to take this care package to your brothers and to the house of Israel. What if David just, Dad, I don't really do pizza deliveries anymore. Just to kind of, you know, jog your memory, I'm the king, remember? If I remember and recall accurately, they poured oil on my head, not yours. And if I also recall accurately, Dad, you didn't even invite me to the party. So you'd be lucky, Pops, if I ever let you in my palace. Please get this, Big Daddy. I don't do bread and cheese anymore because I am too important for that. What if David would have done that? We'd really never know because he didn't do that. Watch how he did. He did what an extremely gifted individual does when asked to do something. He responds in complete humility. Verse 20, early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up and set out, just as Jesse, his father, had directed. Pay very close attention to what David did here, folks. I want you to get this. David, instead of resulting in doing what a lot of people do, telling everybody about how gifted he was instead of reminding everybody that he was the anointed one. Instead of drawing all the attention to himself, he humbly submitted to the Father, and he took the bread and the cheese to where? The house. David was willing to serve the house. And because he was willing to embrace what some people might see as this small, insignificant opportunity, like taking bread and cheese to his brothers, like prepare in ministries and prepare out ministries, like serving in Sea City. Oh, come on. Like, am I saying that out loud? Like taking bread and cheese to his brothers because he was willing to do the small and tedious task. He was essentially, guess what? He was essentially sent to the front lines to look upon a very large, foul-mouthed freak of nature named Goliath. And we all know what happened next. But please don't miss this so very important part about my opportunities. David had not have had the greater opportunity had he not submitted to taking bread and cheese to the house. Missed it. Gone. And here's what many of you need to know today about your spiritual gift. I'm just telling you, this is the Bible. Your spiritual gift was given to you for you to serve the house. It was. I'm telling you, so many of us, we think that this is where we want to go. How do we get there? You've been coming to for 3 years, 4 years, 6 years to COC. But that's all you've been doing. Just coming. You've yet to go pick up your package, open it up, look inside of it, pick up the bread and cheese, and take it to the house. Serve the house. That's what it is. You're not paying attention to your opportunities around you. You need to get involved in the house. And this is a quick plug, but this is a way. We're starting something new every quarter called Backstage Pass. It's really simple. January 25th. Ben in here? Ben, so quiet. Give me an amen, Ben. Come on, dude. I'm doing you something right here, bro. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, one of those, something like that. Next Sunday. 9 a.m. Some of you are like, dude, I come to 10:45. Pick up your bread and cheese and come to the house. What time can they show up, Chad, on Sunday morning? 5:30, dude. That's awesome, man. Woo-hoo! Yeah. Everybody's clapping's not the ones getting up at 5:30. You know what I'm saying? Easy way. We make it so simple. You just have got it classified because you know exactly what your spiritual gift is. But this is perfect because Ben's going to take you around. He's going to show you all of our bread factories and all of our cheese factories and show you how you can serve the house. And so many of you, I know you have some spiritual giants in your life, some spiritual heroes in your life. And you're like, I wish I could be there. Wish I could be there, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And you envy those positions and all that stuff. And you want to get there. Can I just tell you this right now? Right now, as the pastor of this church, if you serve on the prepare in or prepare out ministry, on the production team ministry, on the worship team ministry, in care ministries, if you serve in our children's ministries, in C56 ministries, in youth ministries, can I just tell you right now, as your pastor, you are my heroes. You're my heroes. Because you make it possible for many people to experience the possibility of life change every single week. And if you ever desire to go somewhere in your spiritual faith and get to that level, it won't happen. It won't ever happen until you pick up the bread, you pick up the cheese, and you go serve the house. It won't happen. It won't happen. Here's a second way. Oh, by the way, fill that card out. Sorry, I didn't actually tell them what to do, Ben. Sorry. Fill that card out, and you're like, well, the offering's already been passed. Well, that's cool because we have bins outside, right, Matt? Is that what it's called? Bins? Yeah. See, I don't know anything that goes on around here. They just tell me, show up right here and speak right now. Okay? So they have bins outside and drop that in there, okay? Here's your second way to find out what your spiritual gift is. Ready? My obsessions. My obsessions. Let me say it another way for you. What are your obsessions that matter? That matter. Because if we're being honest today, many of us are obsessed about things that are just plain stupid. In the big picture, let's think about this. Let's think about it. I am one of the biggest football fans there is. If not bigger than most. Listen. But today, we're going to get obsessed about grown men wearing tights, beating the junk out of each other. And some of us are actually literally praying that our team wins. Seriously, don't think back about your life, man. I was a child of the early mid to late 70s and 80s. You know what I'm saying? Think about things that we became obsessed with that just don't matter. Atari. Girls, every girl that was raised in the 80s, leg warmers. Where are those babies now? Right? Listen, and some of you older folks are out there, hey, don't let me even get started back in the 60s and 70s right now. We'll take you back to those days that you can't even remember what happened. You know what I'm saying? Whoa, I don't understand. You woke up and it was like 1980. Whoa. We are great. We are great in America at obsessing about things that just don't matter. We really are. So think about it. What are the obsessions in your life that matter? Here's one of David's, 1 Samuel 17. David asked the men standing around, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Pay attention to these words. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should be allowed to defy the armies of the living God? Look at this, folks. David looks at this guy and says something like this. Dude, this is wrong. This should not be happening, people. And here, I'm not going to pray about it. I'm not going to form a Bible study to think about it, ponder on it, reflect about what I should do about it. It's wrong. So I'm about to do something about this. David became obsessed over something that mattered. That mattered. Let me tell you something that became an obsession with me that mattered. I've been in ministry for close to 20 years now, and I came to a point about halfway into it that I just didn't want to do church anymore like I'd been doing it for the last 10 years. Now, don't get me wrong, there was life change that happened, but it seemed like it was few and far between. And I thought to myself one day, there has just got to be, I just got to believe that my big God is capable of doing bigger things more often. So I became obsessed with doing something that I believed might just matter for the kingdom of God. Something like as crazy as planting a church in the middle of Cowtown, USA. Sorry, city official, love you. But I've been here for 9 years, and I can say that now, too. You know what I'm saying? Where I moved to a town that, believe me, smelled worse than it smells today. If you're a newbie out there, you have no idea what it smelled like 5 years ago, 7 years ago. Can I get an amen, Anthony, right there? You know what I'm talking about. It is horrible. Dude, you burn the inside of your nostrils at nighttime. You know what I'm saying? That I moved my family 1,200 miles across the country because I wanted to start becoming obsessed with what I believe mattered and create an environment that was so open, so inviting, so different to a lost world that they would come in and say things like, I have never been to a church like this before. Where they would come in and they would see a pastor, I don't have him today because it's too cold, but had flip-flops on. And jeans. We got a guy up here. Oh my gosh. Some weeks he looks like Bret Michaels. Where's he at? Is he back there? Don't even get me started on that weird Pastor Matt guy. Oh my gosh. Does anybody look more like Kevin Bacon and know more people than this guy? Easy, man. Like they've never experienced. But there was something about it. So they could hear the love of Jesus Christ like they've never heard it before. The love that was willing and waiting to meet them right smack dab in the middle of their messy lives and give them something that they seem to have been hoping for all of their life. Hope. Hope for tomorrow. Let me tell you guys, that became my obsession. Because I believe that life change for the kingdom of God matters. I believe that. And for sure, we've had several people that have come in and not liked us very much. We call them church people. And they come in and they're great at, you know what they're great at? They're great at telling us what their gift is. They're great at telling us what we're doing wrong, completely overlooking what we're doing right. And it seems to be like, it's completely, I've been in this church and I've been in this church and I've been in this church. And I'm like, there seems to be a common theme. You leaving churches. And they often tell us what they think should be done, the way that they've always seen church be done. They haven't liked us very much. We've had our haters. They've complained. They've even said bad things in public forums because we're not their style. Well, you know what? You know what? There's been over 1,000+ people in 9 years that have given their lives to Jesus at COC. And guess what? That's my style. We ain't going to change anything. That's my style. I became obsessed with what I thought mattered. What are you obsessed about that matters? That's a great segue into the third point. Find out what your spiritual gift is. My opposition. Let me just say this very clearly today for you friends out there today. If you're fearful, you are crazy loco. If you think what God has called you to do will make everybody happy, you are crazy. You are crazy, man. If you think what God has called you to do will make everybody happy. Listen to this. David, before I go there, just help you remember something. If they nailed Jesus to a tree because he followed God, they won't think twice about crucifying you, okay? David's ticked off. He's become obsessed with this thing that's out there. But then it's crazy. It's like he immediately faces some opposition. Look at verse 28. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with a man, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you even come down here? And with whom did you leave those few little sheep in the wilderness with? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." Dude, somebody's holding on to some bitterness for not being chosen. You know what I'm saying? Eliab, this has got to be the guy that, you know what I'm saying? I got an older brother and I look up to my older brother. But we kind of do this with our older siblings. Eliab, this is David's oldest brother, who David probably respects, honors. He just goes psycho on his little brother for wanting to do something about Goliath. Can you just imagine David in the moment? Like, dude, who peed in your oatmeal today? Let me tell you something today. You might want to write this down, folks. When you want to do something great for God, you know that God has, you're convinced God wants you to do this. It's great for God. Those who know they should be doing something great for God but aren't doing it themselves, they will do everything they can to make you as miserable as they are. Oh, this is so true. This is so true. They will do everything they can to convince you you are just not praying right. You are not going to the life group, the right life. You're not going to the right church. Why are you still there? They will do everything they can to make you as miserable as they are. Got to get this, folks, today when it comes to your gift. Finding out what it is to do all that God has called you to do. You have got to, someday in your life, learn to fear God more than you do fear man. You've got to. You've got to learn to fear God more than you fear man. Let me wrap this up. I often wonder, as a pastor, why? Why would you sell your life out to a lesser vision than what the Almighty Creator, God Himself, has for you? Why would you do that? Why are you doing that? So many of us just keep filling our lists up to not do. This is why I can't do. This is why I can't give financially. This is why I can't serve there. This is why I can't go on that missions trip. We just fill our lists up. We're consumed with excuse after excuse. And you know what we're doing? All we're doing is just playing with the paper, playing with the box. We haven't even taken the time to look inside at the gift that's in there. And some of you are great. Some of you have done this. You're overwhelmed. You've taken a peek and you're like, I could never do that. No way. There's no way that I am capable of doing that. You're absolutely right. You know why? Because everywhere I look at the Bible, God never called anybody to a fair fight. Ever. You're not capable of doing what's inside that box without Him. And need I remind you, you have Him living inside of you. The writer of Hebrews said this: it is impossible to please God without. Some of you were hesitant. I got three people. They were here in the first service. You're like, I want to say Jesus. I want to say God, because that seems like the answer. It's probably most of the time the answer when the pastor asks you a question. It is. Faith. Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. It's no wonder. Friends, it's no wonder you aren't experiencing joy and abundant life that God has promised you, because you're not doing much that requires faith in your life. All you're doing is playing with the paper, playing with the box. And I'm just telling you, folks, if you ever want to start moving forward and experiencing joy that overflows and abundance that God provides for you in your life, if you ever want to take those steps, something's got to change. You got to stop playing with the paper. You got to stop playing with the box. You need to open it up. You need to take your bread. You need to take your cheese. You need to serve your Father. You need to serve the house. That's what you need to do. Do me a favor, bow your heads, close your eyes. I am almost done. I just want to say a few more things. God, just a last reminder, God, the Creator of the universe, friends, has given you a gift. And that gift, it actually came with a very great price. It was His Son, Jesus Christ. What are you going to do with that? Listen to what David did. 1 Samuel 17:32. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine." He says, "Your servant, me, David, I'll go. I'll fight him." David assessed the situation, and he said something like this: "You know what, Saul? What's happening? It's not right." And David gave absolutely everything to the cause. And you know how the rest of the story goes. He gave everything. And the one thing that David did, the moment that he took a step on that battlefield, was this. He knew God had not guaranteed him anything. And he knew today might be the day I give my last breath. But I am going to believe and I am going to exercise some faith. I'm not playing with the wrapper. I'm not playing with the box. I'm grabbing the gift. I'm pulling it out. And I am going to exercise faith that God will show up and show off. And folks, he did. All because David was willing to lay it all on the line. He was willing to die to do what God called him to do and gifted him to do. And for the life of me, for some reason, I just can't seem to figure this out. But Christians today want to do everything they can for Jesus. But as long as it doesn't cost them anything. Romans 12 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. That is your true and proper worship. That verse doesn't say anything specific about any particular spiritual gift. All it says is this: as a follower of Jesus, I am to present my body daily as a living sacrifice. I am supposed to be willing to give everything for the cause of Christ. How's that going for some of you? You doing that? You crawling up on the altar every single day? Because according to Scripture, that's what we're supposed to do. Some of us folks need to stop pretending that we don't know what God has called us to do. Because the truth is, if you're in Christ, He has wired you to know. You're just ignoring it. When I say something like that, you're like, dude, you need to back off. You don't have any right saying that about me. You know why you're mad? It's because you know you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. God wants to do more and in, more in and through your life than you could ever imagine. You just got to be willing to do it. You got to be willing to sacrifice daily, surrender everything. And I believe, folks, when you're able to do that, you will start to experience joy that overflows, abundance that never ends in your walk with Christ. Just stop playing with the paper and the box and with everything. Grab a hold of your gift. Serve the house. Let me pray for you. As I pray, there's going to be folks that are standing in the front if you'd like to pray with them. Not willing to wait for backstage next week. You want to know how now you can serve. You can stop by our care table out in the lobby. Ben will be out there as well, and they can show you ways that you can start serving today. Shoot, I'm sure Chad will put you to work today. He'd love to do it. Love to give you the opportunity to serve today right after church. But there will be folks to talk to you if you would like to visit with anybody. Why don't you stand as I pray for you today? Jesus, thanks for the opportunity to share truth in people's lives. I love you with all my heart, Lord. I just desire so much for people to grow in a closer relationship with you. Would you move in somebody's life today? Would you take us forward? Would you help Church of Celebration become a greater impact in the city of Maricopa? That's our desire. That's our passion. I thank you once again for our city officials and leaders that are here today. We thank you for their service, and we want to continue to pray for them. God, move in someone's life. Change their hearts today. We love you in your precious and your holy, holy, holy Son's name.